Top of the morning to you, laddie.
Wow, good morning, sir. What are we doing?
What are we doing? That's what I'm saying. What's going on in the world?
Oh, normally you ask me that. It's early in the morning. Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to be talking about some grading comics and some other stuff that we're going to sprinkle throughout the show. So let's get it. Let's do it.
Let's have a cup of brew.
Cup of coffee in the morning. Doodle doos at this mother. What's going on? And welcome everyone to the first episode of the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. So we're going to be talking about different things today. Normally in our shows, you know, we talk about indies that are on the scene and all kinds of fun stuff. This show is going to be a little different in the sense that we're going to be talking a little more, I guess, current events, right? Things that are happening now. You know, Catch the Craze is, you know, it's what the channel's about. So, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit about what's going on in the world today. Now, Sam does some things on Monday. Look at you. Some things on Monday. You cold? You chilly? Okay. Some things on Monday. On Monday, you'll see the Crazy Internal lesson. And yes. If you caught the last episode this Monday, Sammy was talking about grading comics. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to have some pop culture stuff that we found on the internet, some new releases and things like that you may be interested in. And what else you got, Sam? What else we want to talk about? Oh, we want to do some segments, right? We're going to do a couple segments.
Yes, So
geared towards you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, this morning we're going to, have just a conversation. We'll take questions from everybody who joins us this morning. Hold on, I'm just adding something to the stream, and I see that there's something going on in the chat. Comics Talk with Pops Vincent.
What up? Okay.
Morning, Pops. Morning, Pops.
Morning.
Gotta have my Pops. Remember the was it Snap Crackle Pops?
No, I think that's the Pop cereal. Isn't
it? Oh, the Pop cereal? Yeah. There's so many things.
Gotta have the Pops.
Yeah, yeah. So I do want to say that I did get some stuff in the mail. So I got this package. Hey, So where's Berlina Lanning? What's up? Look at this.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome. Good morning. Good morning.
Where's my latte?
That's what I'm saying. You know, what the hell am I doing up? I'm about to get fired. I'm over here taking a little break from work.
So we recently had Hannah Strauss on the show, and she sent this book in the mail.
Awesome.
And she sent two. One is yours, George.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so this is Joe Plant's Amazing Adventures in the Amazon Rainforest.
That's cool, man.
So look out for this on What's in the Box coming soon. And it's a little nippy here. So I did, run to the store and I picked up some stuff.
The store.
I did get King Spawn number 6, because I am a Spawn fan.
How is that book? I started collecting it.
I packed it up. Haven't read it yet.
You haven't read it yet. I haven't read any of them.
I think I've been so busy with everything else. And I also have. Where's the other
bag? Well, no, hold on a second. So wait, this is which one did you pick up? 5 or which one is it?
6.
Did you read 1 through 5 yet or no?
No, they're all in a box.
Oh, you haven't read any of them.
I haven't read them yet.
Yeah, me neither.
I got Scorch number 1. Scorch number. I like this cover, so that's why I got this cover.
Yeah.
And then I got the Last Ronin, the collected.
That's not the collected. That's one issue, bro.
Oh, whatever it is.
They're that thick. No, they're that thick. Yeah. What number is that?
And it's a larger size.
Yeah, it's large. It's oversized. Yeah. What is that number 1?
This is, yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, this is actually issue 3. Number 1 as a comic. I didn't have the oversized as a comic.
Nah, they're all like that. They're all that size, that thick. Yeah, they're all like that.
Not in Jersey when I was there when it first launched it.
Mm. I have all four. I think they have four.
Am I gonna open the universe? I gotta go through my box. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, they're all big. They're all
so
big.
I have a lot of stuff reading I have to catch up on. Yes, I love the Max. Yeah, the Max is dope. But yeah, so I picked that up, you know. So I'm still an indie fan by nature. So I had to pick up some stuff.
But let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How? Well, I guess it is indie because it's Spawn. I mean, because it's Image, right?
Right.
Because it's not the big two, but Image is considered, you know, the big three at this point, right? So how indie are they at this?
Well, point? The problem, you know, look, I love the Turtles, I love Spawn, I love those brands, and they were originally created by indie creators before they became these global massive empires. So for me, it was the brand that started it all for me. But on occasion, see, unfortunately, the seven stores that I went to in Texas, in Dallas, they don't have a big indie selection. So where in New York and New Jersey, you know, like Midtown Comics, shout out to you guys. You go to Midtown Comics, they have an entire section.
It's changed, bro.
Really? I haven't been in a minute, but the last time I was there, whole big indie section in Jersey, the small little shop. He's probably about maybe a good 500 square feet. Not a big store, right? But you go inside and they have, so what they did, they have at least a good 6 foot of space for indies.
Yeah.
Wow. 6 feet. So that means multiple rows and 6 feet wide, right? So it's about maybe 5 feet tall by 6 feet wide and like four shelves, right? And but here, I was surprised I couldn't find any. It was they had like maybe a 2 foot space on one shelf, you know. So I was like, wow.
Yeah. No. Midtown Comics used to be great for that kind of stuff. I haven't been there in a while, but you know, one of our buddies, Aniba, was over there. He told me just
Orioles.
Yeah, he was there maybe a few days ago, and they've definitely shrunk down the indie section in the back. Yay! It's gotten. Where did you go? it's gotten smaller. And you know, when you talk to them about putting stuff on the shelves or putting stuff like, because you asked them about the cards, and they were like, "Yeah, we're not doing that right now. We're not putting cards on the."
I'll write down the list of the stores and every one of them that I went to would not.
Sam, I was speaking. I don't know if you heard me. I was speaking. I don't know if you're listening at this point.
I heard.
I know it's early in the morning.
That was referring to what she just said.
No, stop it. You're lying. And you're an early morning liar. What did she say? I didn't see what she said.
She said, "Where did I go?" You were talking about they wouldn't put it on the shelves, and that's exactly your point. I went to several stores in Dallas, and they wouldn't even put my postcards to promote my Kickstarter campaign on their counters.
Yeah, no, they're not doing that. I don't think. I mean, a lot of these, I guess, shops don't want to do that. I think the smaller guys are doing it. Like I was telling you, I went to Spider's Web and New York Hardcore Comics and Dobbs Ferry, and they're willing to put stuff on their shelves, you know. But I think that I don't know if it's.
But the caveat is yours. The caveat is the relationship you've established with them. If you have a relationship with them, they will be more inclined to support you, not necessarily the idea of supporting an indie.
Your local comic book shop, yes. But I think Midtown Comics is such a big company now at this point. I mean, they have three stores in New York City. They're probably the biggest comic book shop in New York City.
And they have a distribution company.
Correct. So I think that they're less likely, even if you have a relationship with them, to put your stuff on the shelf, unless you're a name, right?
Unless you're a big-time name. Again, it goes back to the unless. Like, for instance, if I never left the game, and I you know, because I had a pull box with Midtown Comics, right? So a pull list. So they knew that every week that I would go there and pick up, they would pull it aside for me, or there were specific titles that when it came out, they put it in my box, right? Mm-hmm. If I stood there and I cultivated that relationship throughout the years, I guarantee you that because of the relationship for, you know, and the loyalty for 20 years, they'd be like, you know what, Sam, whatever you want, we got you.
I don't know. Because I'll tell you this, even when we were putting our comics in those stores back in the early 2000s, when Diamond was cracking down on them, I remember them telling us we can't really put these on these shelves anymore because Diamond distributors are coming into the store and they're looking to see what we have on the shelves. And if it's not something that they're distributing, they start questioning the store. Hey,
but now that they're own distributor.
So they're their own distributor, what I'm saying is, I don't know what that, we don't know. In other words, we don't know what that relationship is like, would have been like. Maybe they would have been cool with it. But the way that they were trending, it was trending towards, we're a big store now, we're huge. Mm-hmm. We can't really have these, you know, independent guys put their stuff on there because it's going to clutter it. They're going to be like, oh, what is this? What's going on over here kind of thing?
Public service announcement.
Maybe they would. I mean, like, you know, maybe a relationship is stronger than that. I don't know. But right.
So here's a public service announcement.
What you got?
Diamond, that's what happened to you. Right, because you were monopolizing and you were abusing. That's what I'm saying. All right, back to
they would be greedy bastards.
That's what happens when you muscle, right? Mm. So I think, you know, the best organizations are the ones that, you know what, they just look. The order comes in, we distribute it, you sell it, we make our money. Happy as that. The moment you start going and micromanaging locations that you have no ownership on. And you start, you know, putting pressure on people. That's when people start getting resentful and start looking at. They start talking to each other, right? Mm-hmm. Retail, yo, is this happening to you? This happening to you?
Yeah,
this happening?
Let's revolt. Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Big shout out, Dan Price. Big shout out to him, yo. That book that he's got, you know, Bigfoot Knows Karate.
Everybody, fighting.
Off the chain. So check it out if you guys haven't yet. Check it out. But yeah, good morning, Dan. Yeah, no, it's true, bro. Like, you know, people start revolting. People start turning on you. You mess around, you know, and this is what happens. And then the big guys left. It wasn't even like, you know, they lost the little guys.
That's
they
what
left,
happens.
They left Marvel and DC left them. And now all they're left with is just the little guys that they never wanted to.
I think it was DC first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was DC first. They pulled out. There's like, because everyone's like, all right, who's going to go first? Yo, who's going to do it? Are you going to do it? I'm going to do it.
That's why it's the little guys. Alterna pulled that. Remember?
Oh yeah, Alterna set it off. It's always the little guy. Like I had this little guy, man. They called him Cisco. He was a killer, right? Yeah, he was a little guy.
Did he have a song called the Thong Song?
Cisco.
A little early. It's a little early. I think we need you at a 5.
I'm having a cup of coffee, son.
That coffee.
You know? Yeah, see. Just started. I'm just saying.
I can do the do, mother.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, so that's cool, man. I mean, listen, you know, this show is going to be this. It's just going to be us chatting, both, you know, whatever. And talking about some stuff. Talk about some of the stuff that we're talking about. I like that. I like that you brought up some of the stuff that you got at the stores and some of the indies. And guys, I know, listen, we support a lot of Kickstarters out there. Thank you so much for all of the books that you have sent us. I do have a few books that I still have to read. So I'll, you know, and then this is the perfect time to kind of show what we've received from you guys. Cause I know that it gets a little scary. Like when you're sending all these books out, you hope that they're getting to the places you want them to get to. So it's nice to see some people show up. Hey, I got your book. Cause we don't know. We don't know if it got there or not.
Yeah. So I mean, I think, Wolf's Cub, Volume 1, The Lick, that just ended. Yeah. Violent Dogs is ending on the 28th, and Journey to the Shadows is ending on the 19th, and I'm waiting for that. Babes, Gore, and Dinosaur ended. Samurai of Oz, you know, those are stuff that this year that I supported. So I think May, estimated delivery. So most of my deliveries are going to be The Wolf Cub is in July. April is Babes, Gore, and Dinosaur. May is Samurai of Oz. Gorgon, Volume 2, is in May. And Legends of the Realm is in May as well.
Yeah. We also have Brink and Fetch, Want to Have Fun, that successfully crowdfunded. Yeah. Another Reason to Smile, a short story miniseries. That just finished. Silver Line Double Feature, Rejects Number 1 and Sniper and Rook Number 1, which is C. Michael Lanning's book. He did the work on that. So, yeah, there's a few.
Shout out to C. Michael Lanning. He's working on a project right now, and it's fire. C. Michael Lanning, what's up? Michael, are you out there? Where's your version of duty, bro?
Wow.
Come on. This kid's, I would love to see your version of duty.
Early in the morning, calling people out. My man probably just got out of bed. Like, wait, what? I'm being shouted out on the show.
Set it off. I said yes. Yo,
set it off. That's right.
Yo, set it off.
Set it off, bro. Damn. Savage. Evil laugh, too. Evil. So part of what we want to do on the show also is we want to get you guys the blood flowing. And part of it is, on a segment that we want to do called, you know, what's on your to-do list. We'll find a name for it.
What's on your to-do? Yeah.
What you doing? What you got going on? So what do you have going on, Sam? What are you working on for the week or for next week? Okay. What do you got going on?
Today's a busy day. Today's a really busy day. Today we're doing this. After this, mm-hmm. I will be posting all the graphics, promoting the Kickstarter campaign for Disney in My Toilet. So that'll take me about an hour and a half on all the social media platforms and the different sizes and shapes and videos, maybe 2 hours. Then I have to record the What's in the Box for today, which will air tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then tonight at 7 and at 8. Or is it 8 and 9 Eastern Standard Time? I'm on two podcasts. I'm on two podcasts tonight. I'm on Quoth.
Blowing yourself out.
Yeah, I'm on Quoth the Raven and Geek Dad podcast tonight. So today's a busy day. And then so that's that. And then not only that, but I'm also finalizing some of the designs for the duty campaign for production. And then tomorrow we aired the new episode on Cast the Craze with a guest that we had on. And then I'm also on another podcast tomorrow. I'm on two podcasts on Saturday, another two on Sunday. So I'm on a promotional tour.
Damn.
And so really it's just me I'm contacting retailers, trying to get retailers to back the campaign. And I am working on trying to reach out to educators to get them to see the book. And even if it's, having fun with the kids, because there's four pages in every comic book that has trivia. Each book has a thesaurus because Duty uses a lot of, extended vocabulary. So there's a thesaurus in there for the kids. There's each book has a maze or a puzzle, a crossword puzzle, has trivia questions, all science based and story based. That's encourages that. So I'll be doing all that this week, updating the website, editing the shows. So this week I'm busy.
Sorry I asked. I didn't realize you were going to go into a 5-minute soliloquy. I thought it was just going to be, I got a couple things to do. But So I know you have a lot of administrative things to do for the campaign, because the campaign is live right now. And for those who don't know, There's an Alien in My Toilet is live right now on Kickstarter. So if you haven't yet, please go there and pledge. I'm hoping to get funded by the end of the week, hopefully.
Right.
But so you have a lot of that stuff going on. There's no doubt. Like, as far as creatively, are you creating anything, or other than the artwork or any promotional stuff? Are you doing any writing or any drawing at this point?
A lot of drawing. I'm designing the second volume trading cards for Disney in My Toilet, which will launch in the summer. So I'm giving it a new look. For the second volume, and I'm designing a lot of the characters that I had sketched out but I didn't flesh out. So I'm finalizing their looks for the series, because there's a lot of characters. I mean, there's going to be at least 10 volumes of trading cards when I'm done with the trading card game. So right now I'm just designing the characters a lot of that stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe next week we'll if you want, maybe you can tease some of that stuff that you're working on, just to show some of the stuff that you've already worked on. Yeah. On my end, I have obviously the pages for the remastered pages that we're lettering. So I'm going to be lettering a lot of the remaining pages that I have, and then you'll just send me whatever she's done as far as coloring.
So I got all the final, I got the layered files today, so we talked about this. When I drew Duty, I didn't draw borders. So she just colored it the way it was. So today, that's another thing. Thank you for reminding me. I got to add that to my list. Today I'll be adding borders so I can send those pages to you to finish the lettering.
So I'll be doing that. So I'll be doing lettering. So, next week, I'll tease a page or something of the new lettering, so you guys can take a look at what you will be getting in the Kickstarter when you pledge. So we'll show that off tomorrow. And then just creative writing, writing wise, I have a few stories that I'm just developing and writing and things like that. I definitely want to get the I'm working obviously on my Kickstarter campaign for There's an Alien in My Toilet for the Adventures of Wonder Duck. So I'll be doing a lot of that behind the scenes stuff for that. And because it's funny when you talk about the campaigns, there's a lot of work that goes into these campaigns. And for those who have done it, you guys know a lot of, you know, visuals that you have to create for the campaign itself. It's not just typing out, because nobody wants to read. Everybody wants to look at cool images on the page. I think you lose people when you have too many words on those pages. So a lot of that has to get done. So be working on that. And it's going to be a nice fun. I can't wait to get the pages that you're sending me, because I'm really having fun, you know, lettering and redoing some of the stuff that we're doing for Duty. The way he talked, the word balloons for his speech, you know, for all that stuff. So that's really cool. So I can't wait to show you guys that. Yeah. And then what do you guys, whoever's watching, what do you guys have going on? Yeah. Put it in the chat. And then next week, show us some of the stuff that you've done, just to keep each other accountable so that we stay, you know, creating, and we don't get, lethargic about what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's important. It's important. It's like working out, right, Sam? Like, you have to, you know, sometimes you got to have somebody hold you accountable for working out, otherwise you're not going to do it.
Yesterday I couldn't work out because yesterday was crazy, and today it was tough to get up because I went to sleep late. So I went to sleep around 1 a.m. so it was tough to get up.
Damn.
Who we got?
Yay!
Johnny.
What's up, Johnny?
What up, Johnny?
Johnny, you get this.
Yeah, Johnny. Hey, thanks everyone for watching us on Facebook. If you can transfer over to the YouTube, that would be awesome as well. Give us some views over there, because that's also important on our road to 1,000 subscribers.
Johnny.
What do you got? LMAO.
Real quick, I was looking at what came out in comics this week. Maybe I'll pull it up. Hold on, let me put it up here this week. And notice if there's anything out there that any of you picked up that's on this list. I'm only showing indies what they have as far as indies are concerned. Where is it? Bang. Yeah, so here is the poll list.
Previews.
Hold on. So comics and graphic novels.
Good old previews.
Yeah. So I see it. Athena by Second Sight Publishing. If there's anything on this list that you guys have picked up this week or not, let us know.
Big shout out to Second Sight, man. Second Sight Publishing is doing a lot of things. I see a lot of their stuff out there, so I'm glad that there's a small indie.
Look at that. They got Baloney and Friends, Little Brown Book for Younger Readers. Baloney. Let's see. Betty Veronica. I mean, Archie. You know what? Big up to Archie.
Archie's been around for a minute.
Test his time. I mean, they've been out there grinding. I grew up. My mom. Remember the Digest?
Yes. Book?
My
I love
mom,
the
that's
Digest.
That's how I got introduced to Archie. I was a kid.
I loved it.
Shout out to Archie.
I try to copy some of Archie's stuff, create my own stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Aníbal Arroyo's in the house. Top of the morning to you, brother.
I see him. I don't see him.
I see him. He's on there he is. Bam. Hold that. Give him the cackadoodle do.
Yes. That's over here. Here's my rooster. That's my rooster.
That's right. There you go.
I drank my coffee. Yeah, Johnny. Yeah, I drank my coffee already. Tell us something we don't know about you. Johnny, I will pack. Yeah, we would do Comic Cons together, and I will pack a cooler and with everything. And he'd have like three sodas, sandwiches, whatever. We get into the car. As soon as we sit in the car, we get to the destination. It's in the morning. It's already eaten.
Damn.
So then for lunch, he's like, yo, I'm hungry. I said, You had a whole cooler.
He's a Hoover, bro. He's a Hoover.
Yeah, he's a what is it? What do you call it? A parasite. So
that's got a very negative connotation.
Yeah, I know, right?
Johnny, you're more of a Hoover.
Yeah, they got the Comics Experience. That's a new. I never heard of them. They got Charlie Spot. They got a few titles. There's Gunslinger Spawn, which is a ripoff of Duty, Cowboy Duty. Let's see.
Talk to him, Sam. Talk to him. Talk to him. You have to send. You're gonna send the Todd father a cease and desist.
Yeah, yo, Todd, what's up with that, bro? It's like you got Army of Darkness. That's also stood the test of time. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Dynamic Forces. You got AWA Studios with Crimson Cage. You got Jennifer's Blood by Dynamic Forces. Dynamic Forces has several titles, huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
Fictionauts, number one by Red 5 Comics. The Last Days of the Forsaken. That's pretty dope. Second Sight, again. Oni Press is doing Dirtbag Rapture. And then you got Second Sight Publishing Freak Show Kingdom. There's a lot of titles out there that I've never seen. The Gatsby. Is that Freak Show? Is that what's his name? Or no?
Yeah, Freak Show. Yeah. Is that Behemoth?
Yeah, no, that's Second Sight Publishers. Maybe not.
Oh, no, that's not.
There's a lot of dark stuff. You got zombies and vampires is like the big thing right now. I see a lot of
the monsters, right? Yeah, they're getting a lot of books.
Look at them everywhere I look. I see monsters and dead people.
Yeah,
I see dead people. And you got your manga.
Manga is also killing it, bro.
Night Terrors, another John Carpenter Night Terrors. You got Second Sight with Iron Head, One Shot. Look at it. Maniac, Aftershock. Anybody picked up anything this week from this list?
So Aníbal is saying that The Scumbag from Image Comics is pretty good. Johnny picks it up. He's
almost 14 days sober.
Soda clean.
Sofa clean.
I was like, bro,
I'm not sure what that means. I think I'm going to call my agent. Okay. I thought Aníbal was ripping somebody apart.
No, The Scumbag is the name of a book.
Double Thunderbolt. Let's see.
That's a big ass list, bro. We could be here the rest of the show.
Yeah, this goes on forever. So again, if you picked up anything, this is a huge list. Some of these covers look nice. But I see a theme. There's definitely a dark theme, a retro theme, a nostalgic theme going on here. You know, people trying to bring back stuff from the old days or rip on stuff from the old days or redo some titles.
Yeah.
And then you got the manga stuff. So what's in your list this week if you actually went and picked up anything, or are you a monthly person or are you a weekly person?
Yeah. Let us know what's on your pull bag. Do you have pull bags over at your comic book shops? Aníbal said he has the first volume of The Scumbag.
Oh, nice.
I might check that out. You know, it's funny because a lot of these, like a lot of the stuff from Image, I prefer kind of like to pick it up as just graphic novels or trades, so I can just read the whole thing. Like I started reading There's Something Killing the Children, you know, that book that they have out.
Yeah, it's good. That's what I eat beans.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a good book. So I started picking that up. But you were talking about manga a little bit, and you know, when you talk about manga, you also think about anime. And Dragon Ball Z, that's, you know, they've been around for a long time. And for those Dragon Ball Z fans, or those Dragon Ball Z fans who like their card game, you know, because card games are cool, are huge right now. What do you say? Volume 2 is in my pull box. There you go. The Spawn titles are insane, and Scumbag is sick, no question. Yeah, you know, I haven't read any of the Spawn books. Like, I've got all of them. Like, I've got the new, all his number ones that he took out, but I haven't read any of them. So I don't know what...
I haven't. The only one that I read was when he was announcing the combination and the build-up to it. I read the Universe, those. I put, like, Spawn Universe. And... but with the move and everything, and then like when I was going to these comic shops and getting and kicked to the curb, and still giving them my money like a jerk off, I picked up some titles because it was Spawn, and then I saw Turtles. I said, I gotta get this, and so I just put it to my collection, but I have it on my list to read.
I picked up the number ones just to have them. Something Killing the Children is good, yeah. The Last Ronin 5, I know these things are like they take forever to come out, like,
yeah.
And you know what? The Last Ronin, that's a really good read, man. Like, I really enjoyed reading that book. And what I loved about it is that it's, you know, we were talking about remastering and revamping and all that stuff. That story's been around for almost 30 years. Like, that was a story that they worked on way back then. And they're just bringing it out now. So that's cool. Yeah, I saw the cover for that Haunt character. Is that Haunt? Is that who the character is for Spawn? I wasn't sure, Johnny. But yeah, I did see that. I did see an image. I think Todd actually drew that cover. It's got that what is it? It's got the pose from Spider-Man or whatever, or for Spawn or something.
That's a good point, because it's funny because Todd always does variant covers and he always has these talented artists. But if I have to pick, you know, based on my budget, between a variant cover by someone else that I might admire or him, I would get his. Yeah. I always get Todd's version. Because I just like to own his art.
Yeah, even especially on number ones.
Yeah, even if it's reprinted.
Yeah, especially.
Yeah. The Spawn original number one, when it first launched, I have 10 copies.
Yeah, and that's why the value of that comic book is so small, because there's so many copies.
I even have the copies that came with the original Spawn action figure in the box. So you had Spawn number one in the box,
right?
And then you also had Spawn number one. So I have so many.
Yeah. So there's tons. Yeah. So it drops the value of them a little bit, I think, which we're going to be talking about grading in a few minutes. But let me see. Can I share my stuff here? I don't know if I let me make sure that I have my my proper stuff here.
Proper 12.
Window. Here we go. All right, let's share that bad boy.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Anibal. Great minds think alike. See that?
The Todd Father.
It must be a Rican thing. Libertas.
So, Sammy, you're going to be doing a card game, right? This is the new card that the Dragon Ball Super Card Game reveals, a first ever God Rare. This is what they call a God Rare. So basically, these cards are rare, right? They're so rare that in the super sets that they usually have, there's only two or three of them in there. And so this is the new one that they've released, the Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta Unbridled Power.
It's beautiful.
This thing, I think they're releasing it in in March 2022. So this is the new card that they have coming out. Look at that thing. It's got the foiling. I mean, when you talk about designing these cards and designing these games, this is like the standard. You know what I mean? Like that in Pokemon. Like these cards are just...
I want to be the very best.
Yeah.
You can't say that without getting a reaction.
No, I can't. So this card apparently is a callback to the cartoon. Like in the cartoon, there was
beautifully designed. I love that.
It's right, isn't it? Look at this thing.
You know what's crazy? You know, and when you see, that's the problem with my. When you show me something like this, it's like, you know, I'm a moderate colorist. So like I'm designing new cards, right?
Yeah.
But it's like I just might have my colorist just color the cards for me. Because I'm a moderate, I'm not the best. But you know, there's certain things that I haven't been able to work on to really finesse it. And when I look something like this, I'm like, you know what? That's crazy, just beautiful.
It's sick, dude. It's sick. And the funny thing is I always think about, oh, this should be legible or whatever. They don't even look at it. Like you can, I mean, not in this picture, you can barely see it. I wonder how well you can read
is it a 14 point font type when you're doing trading cards? That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it is. Because And they have to have some kind of back, you know, some kind of glow or some kind of effect back here, so you can be able to even read it, right? Unless you don't really care. I mean, you pull this card out in the game, and you're like, it's a done deal. You got 40,000, whatever it is down here, and that's part of what the gaming. And for those who are watching, if you know more about these games, you know, drop it in the comments. How do these things work? Because that's always been my question. You know, when creating these board games or these card games, how do they work? I've never played like, you know, Magic the Gathering or any of these games, so I don't know what the concept behind it is.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to find out a little bit more about that.
Yes, it has to be multi-layered and enough to be able to draw you in without you wanting to say, you know what, this is boring. Right. You know what I'm saying? It has to be engaging. It has to be something that you can do with a crowd. That's why it's taking me a minute with the game, because I've been working on the development. It's not just the designing and the concept, because there's a concept, right? There's a question, there's power level, there's fuel levels, all those things. But now the dice and the rolling and the players and all that other stuff. That's the hard part. Yeah. What's to say? The card is dope. It ain't a that's okay. But yes, I'm reading it. It says, how can you guarantee a legible business? Oh, no, that's that. So it's saying 10 to 11 is the ideal
point size on the cards. Yeah, because they're so small. I think if you do a 14, it'll just get too big, and it'll cover a lot of it. But they managed to give you enough image, you know, where it's cool and freaking engaging with the information that you're going to need to play the game.
Yeah.
The foiling around the card, you know how expensive it is to print this freaking card?
That's the thing. That's the reason why it's like, for me, it's like, there's going to be, there's got to be a huge demand for me to start going mm-hmm. foil. I'm not trying to over impress. I am just trying to cultivate. You know what I'm saying? When these big boys, they have a marketing budget, they have a brand, which is beautiful. But it's inspiring when you see something at that level. You say, you know what? That's what I aspire to do. When I'm, you know, you want to try to create something that's just that appealing. That's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's nice, bro. It's nice. And then for those collectors out there, Star Wars. They've released the new
unavailable.
The new Cad Bane, yeah, they released. I think it was like on pre-orders yesterday, and as of today, it's out of stock. This thing is 6 inches tall. It's got two blasters, and you can put them in the holster, right? And it's got the hat. The hat is removable.
You know what? I'm waiting to see Todd do a version. Is that a Todd version?
Nah, it's Hasbro. This is.
Oh man, they need to license it to Todd and have to Todd do a version.
You know
that's
what?
The version I want.
Yep. This isn't that dope, man. Look at that thing. That thing looks.
It is beautiful. Cad Bane's a fantastic character.
You know, really cool character.
Yes. And there's a duty version of Cad Bane on the Kickstarter. You can get that as a sticker. But yeah, that's dope.
Because I will say, I think if Todd was doing this thing, I mean, the detail in the face would be crazy. Like I think
that's where they screwed up.
He'd be showing his teeth.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that right now. That looks like forced. Fast mass production.
Yeah, it almost doesn't even look like it's fully painted, right? Like, look at the face. It's got like,
no.
Yeah, we're over here ripping Hasbro, but yeah, no, it's true, bro. It's true. I mean,
and then Hasbro will mark up the price. So you have a big
$27.99, bro. This is $27.99.
And what's the inches on this? Well, that looks like a 12 inch. Oh, that's a six inch.
$27.99.
You go to the Walmarts or Targets. The action figures are $20-$30. Yeah. When I was buying them, yes, I feel like now I feel like an old freaking fart. When I was buying them in my days, they were like $5.99, $7.99, $8.99, $9.99 at most. I was like, damn, look at these prices.
Yeah.
These prices.
Yeah.
I said, you gotta have P. Diddy money.
It works. And the point of articulations, right? That's something that I think Todd brought into the whole industry. You see where right there by his ankles where the foot turns and all that other stuff. So it's a pretty elaborate thing, but the face is where they kind of
that's where they shut me off.
They could have done more, right?
It looks like his face is melting.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't look finished. It almost doesn't look finished.
Yeah, they are way overpriced. I agree 100%. It's like you lost me as a potential buyer because I don't know where they're getting these prices from. I don't know. Maybe because they're paying the salaries. Everyone jacked their salaries, so they raise the rates. Maybe it's acquiring.
This was an Amazon exclusive, bro. Amazon was the one that was it's only available through them.
Keep your exclusive.
Yeah.
It looks good. It isn't a McFarlane produced action figure.
I hear you.
You know, that's the part that's really puzzling. You have a prototype. You have this dude. He raised the bar for all of them. He changed the game, right? Mm-hmm. So he made people step up with, you know, the details and articulation, all that stuff, whatever. He still exists and he's still getting licenses, NBA, NFL, all this stuff, NHL. And they still produce a face like this. Come on.
I know. You figure you'd be more inclined to like say, you know what? There's competition out there. Todd is killing it. Let's make sure our stuff is on point. Now, if you look at the box.
Look at the box. Look how you could have captured that.
Yeah, exactly. This was not captured in this action figure. If you look at the box, look at that face. That's what they should have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
No, I don't know what happened. I don't know if they fell asleep. I think what happened was, we got to rush this. We got to get this to production. Speed it up. And I think that's what happened. Some reason, you know, when you look at it in the shadow, it looks a little better in the box.
Right.
I'm pointing at the damn thing. you can see my finger. But, you know, it's just not as impressive. Like, for me, and at a $27 price point, it should have been 12 inches.
Yeah. This is 6 inches, bro. 6 inches. 6 inches. You got the two guns and stuff.
Uh oh.
Yes.
What we got? What do we got?
I haven't had a big breakfast in what, 20 years for McDonald's?
Good morning, y'all.
Chris.
You would get some of our old peace back in the morning. What did Aniwa say? Aniwa say a tall sculptor crew called the Four Horsemen would took the articulation to another level. Todd did the photorealistic with digital scans. He did. That's exactly what he did. But yeah, so that's what I got on that front. And again, these are this stuff I got from bleedingcool.com. So you guys check out that website. I got some of that information from there if you guys want to check it out. But yeah, this is some of the stuff that we'll be bringing to you in the morning.
Speaking of Bleeding Cool, George just made me aware that bleedingfool.com posted an article they did with me. It was a Q&A on designated in my toilet. They didn't tag me. exactly. They tagged my agent. They tagged my bookie.
I need a percentage.
So George is like, yo, did you get tagged? I said, on what? He goes, the article. I said, no. So it's up there. Hey, what's up? Another crazy. What's up, Russell?
Russell.
Yes. If anybody hasn't seen that piece that Russ did of this day in my toilet, Check it out. I'm popping in Saturday, Russ.
All right.
I'm going to chat with the Russ man. But and also thank you for supporting the campaign. Appreciate you. So Bleeding Fool is up there already, and there's another one coming out. I'll let you know when that comes up, but I'll find it. I'll post it out today. But that's a pretty dope.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I retweeted it. So if you guys go to Twitter and follow me at Get Your Meds with a Z, it's on there. I retweeted the article that Sammy's talking about. So that's cool. Now the crew's into his house. Hopefully, we see our brother from another mother, Michael San Martino. I'm sure Michael's probably sleeping because he works overnight. No, because he works overnight. Back in number one, baby. Yo, Russell always makes sure he's back in number one. I see his strategy. I like his strategy. Just be the first backer. His name comes out.
You know, he's like my father-in-law, right? So my father-in-law, he has this thing. Every holiday season, he camps out a Best Buy the night before for the deals. And he's one of the first ones to go and storm the gates to get himself the newest electronic. If someone did a Four Horsemen of y'all, it would have Sammy dressed as Selena singing George's moment. Why am I as Selena? Really?
You sang Bitty Bitty Bum Bum that one time.
Bitty Bitty Bum Bum. George's moment walking.
Why did your robe all of a sudden open up when you said that? Your robe, you were all covered up. Your robe is all open now.
I was like, right? Yo. It's like this robe is nice and soft and silky.
This is supposed to be a 45-minute show. We're almost at that 45-minute mark. We gotta get back to work.
I'm doing my Jedi.
You look like a Jedi. Word. You look like a Jedi. You're like a Sith Lord, though.
I had to get the robe with the hoodie, bro. You know, morning the dudes.
Yo,
John screaming because
jokes on everybody. She's got jokes on everybody.
She's coming out late. She comes out. Fine, you know who she is? Dude. You ever seen my cousin Vinny?
It's Cad Bane, bro.
You ever seen my cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
Where they're in the cabin and he comes out, pop, 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 pop. He starts shooting.
Everybody, and there's an owl on the tree just looking at her like, what the hell's wrong with this crazy bastard? That's her. I checked my toilet this morning. It was the wrong.
You got issues, bro.
Russ, thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing at 9:45 in the morning. That's awesome. But yeah, so let's talk about grading, Sam. Let's talk a little bit about the grading process for those interested in grading their comics. Should they get their comics graded? Right. That was what you were talking about.
Yeah. Should you get your comics graded if you're an independent, unknown independent? Because I see a lot of it. So there's a lot of indies that are doing crowdfunding campaigns and saying, you know what, I'm offering this as an incentive, CGC graded. And, you know, it's a risk, you know, because you have to have a demand and people want to, you know, I think it's flattering when people buy your books and they get it graded. But I think for me, my opinion was no. I think once you have a demand and then you want to use it as an incentive, I think Mark Torres said it on the chat that, you know, it was a good way at a Comic-Con to have a CGC graded book of your book to be able to sell at a Comic-Con. For me, it's not a big to do. It's not on my list to do right now. Now, as we create a demand long term, right? Then Yes, because now you can incentivize. You can have a tier saying, you know what, only five of its kind. Here's a 9.3, 9.6, 9.8 grade, whatever. Get yourself a copy graded already. But if you don't have that demand, I don't. Why would you want to waste that money? And then again, that's just me. Let me see. Let me see what he says. Oh, Johnny. So you add that stream.
So for those who don't know what grading, but what the hell we're talking about when we talk about grading, I know a lot of the guys that are watching and a lot of the ladies that are watching, probably you guys already know because you're in. But if anybody tunes into the show and what the hell's grading, this is what we're talking about. Grading and slabbing. So slabbing is if you've ever been to a comic book convention and you look around and you see these books with these numbers on top, 9.8, 9.2, and the book is behind this glass case. This is what grading and slabbing a comic is. And there are different companies that do it. PGX is one of them.
Yeah.
I think the one that most people know of is maybe CGC. Within the industry, CGC is the other one. They do cards. They do all kinds of things. This is PGX. Yay! You have CBCS. And there's a new one out there called EGS.
Yes.
Now, to your point, Sam, I think for me, and I'll start sharing now because I don't think we need this up. But I don't see anything wrong with having your comic slab. It's almost like you know, you graduate from med school and you get a diploma and you want that thing framed up on your wall and you put it up there and you buy maybe a very expensive frame because you're proud of what you did. I think that's sort of the way I look at grading a comic for myself. It's a comic book that I've worked so hard for so long. Let me slab it. Let me put it up there and just have it for myself, even if it's for myself. Some of these things aren't that expensive. We were looking at some of the pricing, at most maybe $90 or something like that. I saw on CGC or one of those had it at as high as that. And for me, for something that I worked hard on, why not? I would totally.
No, I mean, I think when you're trying to use it to try to attract new buyers, when you can use that money to print your books, because it's a gamble. I think the more you, when you're an unknown, the more you spend to launch a campaign, the more, you know, it gets tougher on you because you got to recoup that money. So I say wait out your first campaign, build an audience, and then as you progress, then do it. I mean, for yourself, for selfish reasons, you want to have it in your book, go ahead. I mean, there's no right or wrong for it, but I think for me, it's very expensive just getting towards building a, because if you're an indie writer, you have to hire artists, you have to hire colors, you have to all the, you know, if you do it yourself, you gotta print prototypes, you gotta all this stuff you want to get ready. Mm-hmm. I think, put your money to a more useful area until you've done that. I usually buy two.
That's interesting. Yeah, Russell, that's a good idea. I mean, you buy two of whatever comic you're buying. You'll buy a slab one, and then you'll buy one for yourself to read. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, you know, and if anybody who's back there's nailing on my toilet, you should buy two, because if you like word puzzles, if you like word puzzles and mazes and all that other stuff, because there's four pages of activities. You're gonna destroy that first book. So, so it's to your best interest to get two.
See, this is now. Crystal said, I'm a simple person. I only do that to my sports cards. Except LeBron, he can kick rocks. The one thing we agree on. It depends on your audience, George, and your trust in your audience. Will they purchase this or not? If they are broker than a joker, then you know they will Sarah wrap your joint. Yeah. See, and again, I'm looking at it not from I'm gonna sell this book later on down the road in my life. No, I'm that's just for me. Like, I'm just printing that.
Yeah, I understand that because, you know, it's funny because that's what I was thinking because I have a lot of wall space up there. And I was like, you know what? Every title that I produce, I'm going to go and have it done. And I might get it CGC graded for myself to have it on the wall down the road. But I think, you know, for campaign reasons, I think there's a reason why I don't do hollow foils cards, the metal cards. There's a reason why I try to. Yeah, because right now I'm taking a risk with the 6-inch 3D figures, right? Mm-hmm. I'm taking a risk with the plush. Those are calculated risks because I'm also using that to pitch. But I think if you're an independent and your budget's limited, you know, be mindful of where your money goes. CGC, you can do it anytime. Yeah. You know, cultivate an audience if you're trying to get to people. Question: who does number two work for? Is that a poo question? Is that a poop question?
That's like a poop question. I don't know.
It is a poop question. Like a
question.
That's the collective, funny. Yes, from a business standpoint, is very high risk. I agree with you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. But how costly is it, right? Now, we can research that and maybe we can follow that up on another show. But how costly is it to slab a comic, especially if it's your own comic? I don't know. If anybody has done it watching, if anybody has slabbed a comic, and just let it, how much did you pay for that and how much did it cost?
So what's it? The CGC modern grading is $30 non-member, $20 members, turnaround 32 days, 10 days fast if you want to play. And then the modern day grading for CBS, it's $18 for non-members and $16 for members.
It's a few cups of coffee in a week.
Yeah, I guess.
I start drinking coffee for a week and I get.
So
my
CGC comment. Is the highest.
Yeah, it's not. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's like I want to do it, but that's like I'm gonna hold off a little bit right now because right now, you know. I think just again, personal preference. You do what you think is best for you. I'm not saying, but I always make sure I say my personal opinion for me.
Yep.
This is what I would do. Mm-hmm. CGC is modern, is about 40 with CBS. They must have raised it because it shows modern grading on this site.
What I've noticed is they also base it on how much they think the comic book will be worth later on in the future. So if they think it's going to only be worth about $250, they give you a price. If they think it's going to be worth $4,000, they raise their price up more. It just depends on how much they think that comic book will be worth, is what I've read so far. But thanks, Alan. Russell, that's good stuff there.
Yeah, it's called the Rookie Collector, Time to Grade Your Comics and Who to Choose. And, you know, this guy's, he ends it off because he breaks down every single one of them. Right, but he ends it off with the bottom line here is simple. There are many companies for many needs for many people. Personally, I think it depends on why you want your comics graded and what you're looking to get out of them.
Right.
I think the return on investment purposes right now, CGC is the way to go. However, if you have a signed comic that you want slabbed, just for your own protection, go with another company like CBCS, PGX, and EGS. Yeah. Every company in the world has pros and cons. Go with the company that suits your needs. Don't focus on what the masses are buying. They do not share the same collecting goals or wallet as you. So that's basically it.
And I think they're talking about, these guys are talking about key issues from the big companies, Marvel, DC, Image, and stuff like that. We're talking about indies, our own personal comics that we're doing. But Sammy, it's getting about to that time. We're almost at the end of the show here. Those prices are for a show grading. It doesn't include shipping. Shipping just for one book is about $20. Wow, yeah, that makes sense.
So you know you're gonna pay $60 to $80. Dang, I was about to say go Fiverr. you pay about $60-$70 in total to get your book graded. As an unknown, if you're doing it for selfish reason, go ahead. But there's no guarantee that someone's going to want to pledge and get it. So I say put out a survey. Say if I had this as an offering, you know, would people be interested? Because you also got to, you know, jack up that price to recoup that money. So I would love everyone's answer to this. Is there a particular comic you own and don't own you would not sell? There's nothing that I own that I would not sell for a right price.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is as far as comics has a price. As far as the big two comics, anyway. Personally, I prefer CGC over CBCS. The holder is a lot easier. Okay, a lot nicer. She said. Yeah. He said, "All right, yeah, no."
Yeah, like right now, I have the every Moon Knight issue done by Stephen Platt. He's no longer in the game. You know, he did Prophet, he did Fighting American, he did Soul Saga, fantastic artist. And he did a short run on Moon Knight and signed. And they've been bagged and boarded and not touched and in my box for, 20 years now? Right. So Moon Knight pops off. I know that if I got him graded, I can get 10 grand for him collectively. So I'm just waiting.
And that's a signature they can verify, right? Because Stephen Platt is somebody that I'm sure they have signatures of them. So that's the one you would sell. Nice. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you. Nice. Love it. Sammy, we got to close it out. So what do we got tomorrow? Don't forget.
Tomorrow. We
have a show. Malcolm Wong will be on the show.
Yes.
He will be talking about his book, so a Dog Eater. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for that. It comes on, if you have an alert set up, it comes up as it's on at 9 o'clock. We're not live. It is not a live show.
So I know that there's been people in there commenting, and I love it. But we're not on. It's pre-recorded, so it's, you know. So just so you guys know, if we don't respond, we're not being rude. We're not live. But that comes on tomorrow, and Sammy's gonna be working on some stuff for next week, like he said, and we're gonna come back next week on Thursday again to do it all over, and yeah. We will have some previews, some sneak peeks of what we've worked on. If you guys are working on something this week and would like to share it with us, let us know. Send it over, and we'll post it. We'll show it on the screen here. So. Yeah, let's start this community, man. I like this.
So tonight I will be on.
Baby, look at that. Look at Russ.
Yes. I'm gonna promote my brother. So tonight you'll catch me on. I'm gonna be on The Enthusiast. I'm going to be on. But tonight I'm gonna be on Geek Dads, and I'm also going to be on. The Quoth the Raven with Lewis Bright Raven. Tonight and Saturday, find me on Russ, my boy. Check out, I'll be posting what he, his version of Duty. He's the awesome. Man. Thank you, sir. Awesome. And, let's say also what?
Mama says hi. Oh, hey, tell Mama said hi, Chris. Absolutely. Always crazy enforcement fan, everyone here. Yeah, yes. John. No, thank you guys, everybody, for joining us today, man. This is good. This was good. Yes.
Exactly. Sunday night, I'll be on JD Calderon's show.
JD.
So I'll be joining JD. And there's a whole lineup. I got a show every day throughout the campaign. Again, if you guys know any educators, parents with kids that are trying to inspire learning because, you know, kids don't want to read because they want to just play with their video games. And again, you want to safe all ages. This is for the whole family. This is for all ages, adults and kids alike. Get a copy of There's Nail in My Toilet. Every book has 4 pages of activities for the kids to inspire learning because Duty supports education. And it's fun. It's a great way to break away from the nonsense and the craziness that's happening on the world today and just laugh a little bit. So please share it with teachers. And if you have a retailer in your neighborhood, let them know, a comic book retailer, let them know that the Kickstarter campaign is live. There's 2 retailer bundles available, and there's also 2 educators bundles available as well. So, and if you know collectors of 3D figures, I have 10 of them available on the campaign, 5 unpainted and 5 custom painted. So, help spread the word. This was a great morning. Thank you, everybody who came out this morning.
Good morning. I hope everyone's awake now and ready to get on with their day because I'm wide awake. I got to get back to work over here.
Yeah. I mean, it was a beautiful morning. We appreciate every single one of you for joining us for the very first episode.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
With that said, I am your boy, Sad the Crazy Man.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we... I gotta find that damn outro. Yeah, this is the Morning Brew closer. There you go. Oh, we gotta-